Can you remember when you first heard about the Three Mile Islands?
Yeah, right after it happened by radio, I was down in the... See, I'm in the emergency preparedness office.
I'm sure
that's where my desk is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I heard it immediately as soon as it was announced. That was what, Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday afternoon.
Was that, that wasn't public radio broadcaster, was it?
Yes,
it was.
It was,
okay.
Yeah.
Did you know there was a reactor there before the
incident? Oh, yes. I worked for Pennsylvania Power and Light Company for 45 years.
I see.
So, and we have a plant, see, just 3 miles away, Bruner Island.
Mm-hmm. A nuclear plant?
No, it's coal-fired.
Okay.
Coal-fired.
How far is TMI from?
About 25 miles.
Okay. You would have known that before, too?
Yeah.
Okay. When you first heard about it, did you think it was serious, or how did you react to it?
I didn't particularly think it was very serious, mm-hmm. No. They've had problems before with these nuclear plants, but naturally we didn't have any details.
Right, you're just getting the bare minimum.
That's right. And unfortunately, we didn't get too much for some time.
That's what I understand.
That's
Others
right.
have been saying that.
Yeah.
Did you think that was a problem?
Yeah, very definitely, because you would get calls from the people and you didn't know exactly how to answer them.
What kind of calls were you getting?
Well, a lot of the people had heard it on the radio and wanted to know how much danger there was in this area in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, we didn't know. We didn't know how far it was. They thought it might spread, anything like that.
What kind of answers did you give them then?
Well, we had to give them a general answer that we didn't feel that there was anything to be alarmed about mm-hmm. at the present time,
mm-hmm.
which turned out to be all right.
Mm-hmm. When you said that initially you didn't think it was all that serious, there had been problems there before and so forth.
There had been problems at plants before, and of course, being with BP&L, I had known that there were
mm-hmm.
problems.
Did your feeling about that change over time? Did you feel that it got more serious or not?
Yes, I did feel that it was getting more serious, but then you had so many contradictory reports, your mm-hmm. news media, your television, and you just didn't know what to believe.
Can we talk about that a little bit? Were you following the media some?
Yes.
Would you say you were following it more than you usually do?
No, I wouldn't say so.
You usually just keep track of what's going on there anyway. You said something about conflicting reports. Where were the conflicts coming
from? Well, one report would come out and say that there had been a large amount of radioactivity discharged, and the next one said there wasn't anything to be alarmed about. You just didn't know
mm-hmm.
what the score was.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that a problem?
Yes, very definitely. And even in this morning's paper, they come out and say that it was a lot worse than they had ever reported. So, where are you?
Might go on with that. How do you feel Metropolitan Edison handled this situation?
Well, I feel that Metropolitan Edison covered up.
Did
very
you?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
They did not report what they should have reported. They were holding back.
Do you think there's a reason for that?
Being with a utility, I can see how they would act.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I'm biased against Metropolitan Edison.
I see.
I have been for years. PB&L would definitely not have handled the thing the way Metropolitan Edison did.
You feel that they were just making sure they were covered then?
Right.
Did you find a source of information that was more trustworthy in the whole situation?
Yeah, when Denton got here and started reporting, I
mm-hmm.
felt that we were getting someplace.
So you felt that the National Regulatory Commission was doing a pretty good job here?
Yes, yeah. See, unfortunately, PP&L is around Metropolitan Edison in certain areas. And I called PP&L, knowing the powers that be in Allentown, in our main office, and they knew nothing about it except what they had heard.
So they weren't.
They didn't get any report directly from Metropolitan Edison Company, and that is unusual. I mean, that is just not the way you operate.
They would ordinarily have been kept posted.
That's right. That's right.
That
because, see, we have this vast interchange of the whole central eastern part of the country. And Metropolitan Edison is part of it, PP&L. And they want to know what's going on so they can supply power.
That's one of the reasons that leads you to think that there was a real cover-up going
That's
on
right.
and so forth.
That's right. Because PP&L knew nothing about it. Mm-hmm. I talked to our vice president in Harrisburg, vice president of Harrisburg division, a couple times. He couldn't give me any
information.
No.
Hmm. What about the state level? Do you think they were handling things pretty well?
I do, yes. What they found out, but I think they were in the same shape we were. The public.
Everybody in general was without.
They weren't. They just weren't getting the information that they should have had.
Mm-hmm.
And look how long it took them to report it to Washington.
Yes. Do you think that the people in charge over there of the plant, do you think they were in control of that situation?
No, I don't think they... Well, they... I think the training was lax. And I don't think they knew what to do when the thing happened. I think that was a problem.
What made you feel it? What made you uneasy about it?
The way they were handling the thing, and definitely they should have known what to do or what happened, but they didn't even seem to know that at the start of the thing.
Mm-hmm. That improved then when NRC came?
Right, right.
Do you think they're in control of that situation over there now?
I don't know. Babcock and Wilcox have been in, and they certainly should be able to tell them what to do. But they certainly need a lot of training. And see, they want to bring this number one unit on, and you can't blame them for that.
Right.
And just this morning, there was a hairline crack in one of the pipes, water pipes. I should have brought the PP&L reporter up and show you the difference between the construction of the Three Mile Island plant and the plant that we're building up at Berwick.
PP&L is building a new nuclear
plant? Oh, yes.
Plant. I would
it's about 75% complete, the one you
need. I see.
They hope to bring it on the line in 81.
You feel this one will be much...
Oh, yes. It's entirely differently constructed, the containment vessel and fuel elements.
Mm-hmm. Did the situation worry you?
No, not in particular, because of the distance involved.
Okay.
Unless we would have gotten a report that the radioactivity was greater.
Mm-hmm. did you talk this over with, apart from your work, obviously you had a lot of time going on in relation to your responsibilities here and so forth. Did you talk this over with your family?
Yes, we talked about it. No person's worried. See, I'm 12 miles further up west.
Where you're living is 12 miles further even than here.
Than Carlisle,
So you didn't make any plans any different from what you would usually have? And you didn't think about leaving the area?
No.
How did you feel about people who did leave the area?
Well, from what they were hearing and what they were reading, I think that they made a wise move, the people closer to the plant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had, our plant is only 3 miles away, and we gave our employees the opportunity to take their families and leave if they wanted to and
this
leave
is
their
the
work. That's PP&L. And there are 3 units down there, and we closed down 2 of them. And only had one on a standby basis over the weekend. And the supervisors were willing to come in and operate if there weren't any others available.
And this is because of the stuff that was coming,
right.
The information that was coming
right.
about TMR. Do you think that anything that happened at TMI might have affected your health?
No.
Any other aspects of your community life?
Mm-hmm.
If the worst had occurred over there, what do you think might have happened?
Well, it would have spread over a lot larger area, and it would have taken in a good bit of the state of Pennsylvania.
Very widespread.
Right, yeah.
What would those effects have been?
Well, you'd have had mass evacuation to start with,
mm-hmm.
and you would have had panic.
Is that a concern in your plan?
Yes, it was. And a lot of people did panic.
Here?
Here.
And in closer?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean they panicked?
They just wanted to get out.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely didn't want to stay around the place.
Were you were involved in the planning for the possible evacuation, is that so?
No.
No, you were not involved.
No. See, I just happened to be, my desk happens to be in that office section,
mm-hmm.
and that's how I got in.
And you got commandeered then
yeah.
in the middle of all of this, huh?
Yeah, just during working hours. I wasn't in on any overtime.
Okay. Do you have any notions about how radiation might have affected life around here if it had gotten bad?
Yeah, because I took a course when I was at PPNL on radioactivity.
What would it have done?
Well, I'm afraid I would have gotten out of the place.
You would have gone.
I would have gone.
Is that what would have told you to leave?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What would it have done to the area, do you think?
Well, it would have ruined it. It would definitely ruin the
area. It would have affected all of life?
Oh, yes. Yes, very definitely. Matter of fact, you wouldn't have been able to come back into the area.
For how long?
20, 25 years.
So it would just have been a completely dead area.
That's right.
Did you think about any of that during the course of this? Because it never seemed to you a real
thing. I didn't think that the thing was bad enough, and I felt that there were enough safeguards in that containment vessel that it wouldn't blow.
Wouldn't do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Did the event at the time you were going through it bring any past experiences to mind?
Nothing more than this course I had taken in radioactivity.
That put you in a good position to understand what
yeah,
was going on,
yeah.
didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you think of any historical events?
No. Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you?
Yes, I did.
Flashed across your mind?
Yes, it flashed across your mind.
Why do you think you made that connection?
Well, we knew what happened when that bomb was dropped and the radioactivity, nuclear power. Naturally, we've had several courses of that in PPNL.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's a connection a lot.
That's right, and the destruction and the amount of lives that were lost.
Would you say that this sort of an accident, or potential accident, really, I guess, is more or less frightening to people than, say, a flood or a hurricane or a war?
You have a perfect example of that. We had this TMI thing, they're still covering the newspapers with it.
Mm-hmm.
We had, what, 273 people killed out in Chicago. And who talks about that today?
So it must be more than. What do you think accounts for the fear there?
Well, don't you think it's the news media that keeps
the
thing before the American public?
Certainly.
And before the entire world, in fact. All the countries are talking about it. And yet you take one airplane, it'll kill 270 people, and we had no person killed here. We don't know what might happen in years to come.
Do you think that's maybe why they're preoccupied with it?
Yes, yeah.
Because we don't know, or because we...
Because we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember at any time during this having any sort of daydreams?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any sleeping dreams that you can remember?
Mm-hmm. No.
Slept very well then.
Yeah.
Sleep was undisturbed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think people around you changed during the incident?
No, I don't.
Apart from they're doing just doing more, being much more involved.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. The people that were involved in it, yes, but I mean the ordinary citizen.
Do you think that the event changed them in any lasting way, or changed the community in any lasting way?
I don't think so.
Not at all.
No.
Did you hear any jokes about radiation or 3 Mile
No.
Island? Have you? Well, not even changed. Do you have an opinion about nuclear energy and so forth? What we ought to do?
Very definitely, I think we have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I get that from a BP&L background.
Sure.
But we have to have electric power. We know that. And it's just like this gasoline situation we're in right now. The American public is not going to save. They're not going to cut down on their use either of gasoline or of electricity. Energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to have it. And I know from experience and from working around electricity that once you get a nuclear plant built, that you can supply the current. I mean, it's cheaper to generate than it is with any other type of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it costs more to build a plant, but in the long run, it still can be supplied cheaper.
Mm-hmm. And therefore, we have to go on with
that. That's right.
Do you think we've learned anything from this?
Oh, definitely. Very definitely we've learned from it.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell me? Or say about all of this? Something I've missed?
No, I think you have covered it. We found out one thing, and that was that even with all the publicity, that the people still didn't believe your answer sometimes. A lot of the people from this area, Carlisle area, would call in, wanting to know whether we thought that they should leave. And I don't think that they really believed you. And yet we were supposed to have the information right at our fingertips.
Why do you think they didn't trust that?
I think because of the conflicting news media story.
Mm-hmm. Because there were so many different versions of all of this. Mm-hmm.
NBC built the thing all out of proportion.
I see.
On television.
So you're making a distinction between the national media and the local media?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this might have had something to do with not trusting Metropolitan Edison, too?
I think so, very definitely. But NRC came in, they very definitely proved that Metropolitan Edison wasn't given the true story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you think could have been done more effectively here?
You mean as to evacuation and planning?
Yes, any of it.
No. See, we had four men come in from outside with training on this type of evacuation and the problem. And they went right to work. And then we had John Broges, who did a marvelous job. He practically wrote the whole plan of evacuation.
Mm-hmm. I guess that puts us in an interesting position now, doesn't
it? Yeah. Right now, we're making a survey on this gasoline situation for...
Is that what you're working on now?
Fire engines, fire departments, ambulances, meal on wheels, moving the agent.
It's pretty miserable out there. It's pretty hard to get gas. I suppose, in a sense, this is all tied up, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the whole thing. I mean, this emergency preparedness department... In case you have a chemical tank car on the railroad derail, they have to be prepared for that,
mm-hmm.
or floods, It's all tied up together. Mm-hmm. And of course, it did advance the definite plan for evacuation. We have to admit that, because there wasn't any definite plan prior to this thing.
And now there's a big one, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing amount of work done in that period.
There are three men from War College working on plans.
Yes, I think they're on my list. I think I'm to
two, three colonels, I believe, Wheeler and mm-hmm. I forget the other two.
Yes, I think Mr. Blonser suggested
yeah.
I speak with them.
Yeah. Well, they're doing an awful lot of work, and they're also working on the impact to the area, what impact it had.
In economic terms
yes,
and so forth?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So they'll be able to give you a lot of valuable information.
Well, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.